Chapter 9. There comes a time in every rightly constructed boy's life when he has a strong desire to go somewhere and dig for hidden treasure. This desire suddenly came upon Tom one day. He went to find Joe Harper, but failed. Next, he sought Ben Rogers. He had gone fishing. Presently, he ran across Huck Finn. Tom took him to a private place and opened the matter to him confidentially. Huck was always ready to take a hand in any enterprise that offered entertainment and required no money. "Where we dig?" said Huck. "Almost anywhere." "Why, is it hidden all round?" "No, indeed it isn't. It's hidden in particular places, Huck. Sometimes on islands, sometimes in rotten chests under the end of a limb of an old dead tree, just where the shadow falls at midnight. But mostly under the floor in haunted houses."
"Who hides it?"
"Why, robbers, of course. They always hide it and leave it there."
"Don't they come after it anymore?"
"No, they think they will, but they generally forget the marks or else they die. Anyway, it lays there a long time and gets rusty, and by somebody finds an old yellow paper that tells how to find the marks."
"Have you got one of them papers, Tom?"
"No."
"Well, then how are we going to find the marks?"
"I don't want any marks. They always bury it under a haunted house, or on an island, or under a dead tree that's got one limb sticking out. Well, we've tried Jackson's Island a little, and we can try it again sometime. And there's the old haunted house up the Stillhouse branch, and there's lots of dead limb trees."
"Is it under all of them?"
"How you talk! No!"
"Then how are you going to know which one to go for?"
"Go for all of them."
"Why, Tom, it'll take all summer."
"Well, what of that?
Suppose you find a brass pot with dollars in it, all rusty and gray, or a rotten chest full of diamonds. How's that?"
Huck's eyes glowed.
"That's another thing."
"But say, where are you going to dig first?"
"Well, I don't know.
Let's try to dig under that old dead limb tree on the hill, the other side of the Stillhouse branch."
"I see."
So they got a crippled pick and a shovel and set out on their journey. They arrived hot and threw themselves down in the shade of a neighboring elm to rest and have a smoke.
"I like this," said Tom.
"So do I."
"Say, Huck, if we find a treasure here, what are you going to do with your share?"
"Well, I'll have pie and a glass of soda every day, and I'll go to every circus that comes along. I bet I'll have a merry time. What are you going to do with yours, Tom?"
"I'm going to buy a new drum and a red necktie and a bullpup and get married."
"Married? Tom, you, why, aren't you in your right mind?"
"Wait, you'll see."
"Well, that's the most foolish thing you could do. Look at my pap and mother fight. Why, they used to fight all the time. I remember well."
"The girl I'm going to marry won't fight."
"Tom, I think they're all alike. Now, you better think about this. What's the name of the girl?"
"I'll tell you sometime. Not now."
"All right. Only if you get married, I'll be more lonesome than ever."
"No, you won't. You'll come and live with me. Now, let's start digging."
They worked and sweat for half an hour. No result. They worked another half hour. Still no result. Huck said,
"Do they always bury it as deep as this?"
"Sometimes. Not always. Not generally. I think we haven't got the right place." So they chose a new spot and began again. The labor dragged a little, but still they made no progress. They pegged away in silence for some time. Finally, Huck leaned on his shovel, swabbed the beaded drops from his brow with his sleeve, and said,
"Where are you going to dig next?"
"I think maybe we'll try the old tree that's over yonder, on Cardiff Hill, back of the widow's."
"I think that'll be a good one.
But won't the widow take it away from us, Tom? It's on her land." She take it away. Maybe she'd like to try it once. Whoever finds one of these hidden treasures, it belongs to him. It doesn't make any difference whose land it's on. That was satisfactory. The work went on. By and by, Huck said, "We must be in the wrong place again. What do you think?" "It's mighty curious, Huck. I don't understand it. Sometimes witches interfere. I think maybe that's what's the trouble now."
"Witches have no power in the daytime."
"Well, that's so. I didn't think of that.
Oh, I know what the matter is. What fools we are! You got to find out where the shadow of the limb falls at midnight, and that's where you dig."
"Then we've done all this work for nothing. Now hang it all, we got to come back in the night. It's an awful long way. Can you get out?"
"I bet I will. We've got to do it tonight, too, because if somebody sees these holes, they'll know in a minute what's here, and they'll go for it."
"Well, I'll come around and meow tonight."
"All right. Let's hide the tools in the bushes."
The boys were there that night, about the appointed time. They sat in the shadow, waiting. It was a lonely place, and it was a solemn hour. Spirits whispered in the rustling leaves, ghosts lurked in the quiet nooks, and the deep baying of a hound floated up out of the distance. An owl answered. The boys were subdued by these sounds and talked little. By and by they decided that 12 had come. They marked where the shadow fell and began to dig. Their hopes began to rise. Their interest grew stronger. The hole deepened and deepened. But every time their hearts jumped to hear the pick strike upon something, they only suffered a new disappointment. It was only a stone or a chunk. At last, Tom said, "It's useless, Huck. We're wrong again."
"Well, but we can't be wrong. We spotted the shadow to a dot."
"I know it, but then there's another thing."
"What's that?"
"Why, we only guessed at the time. It was too late or too early." Huck dropped his shovel.
"That's it," said he.
"That's the very trouble. We got to give this one up. We can't ever tell the right time. And besides, this kind of thing's too awful. Here, this time of night, with witches and ghosts fluttering around so, I feel as if something's behind me all the time. I've been feeling uncomfortable ever since I got here."
"Well, I've been pretty much so too, Huck. They most always put in a dead man when they bury a treasure under a tree to look out for it."
"Tom, I don't like to fool around much where there's dead people. A body's bound to get into trouble with them, sure."
"Yeah, I don't like to stir them up either.
Suppose this one here was to stick his skull out and say something."
"Don't, Tom. It's awful."
"Well, it just is. Huck, I don't feel comfortable a bit."
"Say, Tom, let's give this place up and try somewhere else."
"All right. I think you're right.
What'll it be?"
Tom considered a while and then said,
"The haunted house. That's it."
"I don't like haunted houses, Tom. Why, they're even worse than dead people. Dead people might talk, maybe, but they don't come sliding around in a shroud when you aren't noticing and peep over your shoulder all of a sudden, the way a ghost does. I couldn't stand such a thing as that, Tom. Nobody could."
"Yes, but Huck, ghosts travel around only at night. They won't hinder us from digging there in the daytime."
"Well, that's so.
But you know mighty well people don't go about the haunted house in the day nor the night."
"Well, that's mostly because they don't like to go where a man's been murdered anyway. But nothing's ever been seen around that house except in the night. Just some blue lights slipping by the windows. No regular ghosts."
"Well, where you see one of them blue lights flickering around, Tom, you can bet there's a ghost mighty close behind it. It stands to reason, because you know that only ghosts use them."
"Yes, that's so.
But anyway, they don't come around in the daytime, so what's the use of our being afraid?" Well, all right. We'll try the haunted house if you say so, but I think it's wasting the time. They had started down the hill by this time. There, in the middle of the moonlight valley below them, stood the haunted house, utterly isolated. Its fences gone long ago, the doorsteps were covered with grass. The chimney was ruined, a corner of the roof caved in. The boys gazed a while, half expecting to see a blue light flit past a window. Then, talking in a low tone, they struck far off to the right and took their way homeward through the woods that adorned the rearward side of Cardiff Hill.